Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And I read too far. I do apologise.
Good morning again. I don't know if you are the type of person who's into New Year's resolutions. I think the longer you live, the less likely you are to make them, because you know how easy they are to break. But in our church, over the series of January, we're just going to look at New Year's resolutions that we can make as a community of faith. And we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, which is a part of the Bible which forms the wisdom literature, a part of the Bible. And we're going to be thinking about, well, what does it mean to be wise? It seems to me that we as a generation have to make more complex decisions than any other generation in the history of this world. Even if you think about shopping for cereal, you go to the local Woolies and there are over 100 different options to kind of choose from. And that's kind of a fairly menial thing to actually make a decision about. But when it comes to life, about who to marry, about what job to take, about where to live, about how to spend your time, about how to use your resources, about how to treat people, about how to live your life, we live in an incredibly complex world, don't we? And I think the thing that our generation needs more than anything else is wisdom. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be unpacking, well, what is wisdom and how do we become a wise person? I think many of us have a kind of a false understanding of wisdom. So wisdom isn't just knowledge, or wisdom isn't just about being really smart or intelligent. We know really intelligent or smart people who can be incredibly foolish, and we know quite simple people who can be incredibly wise. Wisdom isn't just about age, or wisdom isn't just about experience. Again, we can know older people who can be incredibly foolish and younger people who can be incredibly wise, and vice versa. So what is wisdom and how do we get it? Well, before I answer that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this passage, this book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs, a book that speaks to us about how to be wise people, I pray that we'll hear its words, that we'll understand them in our minds and in our hearts, and more than that, we'll actually put them into practice. I pray that you'll give us wise hearts, wise words to say, wise plans and wise friends over the course of January. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. So the four talks that we're going to look at over the period of January are wise hearts, that's today's talk, how can we develop wise hearts, wise words that come out of our mouth because words are so powerful, and how can we use our words as a blessing and an encouragement towards others? Wise plans, how can we make plans under God or in the knowledge of God or in the presence of God? In other words, not just to rush off and make plans by ourselves, but to actually include and honour God in our plans for our life. And finally, wise friends, how can we be good friends to one another? So firstly, wise hearts. That's what today's talk is about. And we see in our passage that there are three things to develop a wise heart. Firstly, you must realize how difficult it is. To have a wise heart, that there is actually a fight involved. Look at verse 5. Chapter 4, Proverbs, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you, embrace her and she will honour you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. So did you hear those words? Get, do not turn away from, protect, love, watch, cherish, embrace. These are words that describe a tremendous amount of effort on our behalf. that word get actually means purchase. Verse 6, do not forsake, means do not let go. Verse 7, though it costs you everything, get understanding. In other words, be dogged, be relentless, sacrifice all you have in order to get wisdom. And notice there's this language of pursuing a woman in courtship, verse 8. Cherish her and she will exalt you, embrace her and she will give you honour. I don't know if you can remember back to your courtship days. I can remember mine. I can remember the first date I went on with Janelle. After our first date, I realised that I wanted to marry her. And over the next few months, the whole purpose of my life was to win her over. She consumed my mind, my energy, my thoughts. So I took her on dates. I ate salad. I never eat salad. The first time she cooked me a meal, she cooked me a lasagna and she prepared it before and she put some Glad wrap over it and put it in the fridge and then she put it in the oven with the Glad wrap on it and the Glad wrap actually melted into the lasagna. But I said to her, it's the best lasagna I've ever had. Because I was pursuing her, I was trying to win her over, I was trying to actually convince her that I was the right guy for her to marry. And the writer of Proverbs says that we need to be like that with wisdom. So think about how passionate you were in your courtship days, how focused you were, how determined you were. The writer of Proverbs says, be like that with wisdom. Verses 18 and 19, the path of the righteous is like a morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Verse 19, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So the way of the wise, it's like light. It's like a glorious light. And the way of a fool is like darkness. And again, think about that. If you go into a room, a pitch black room at night time, and you can't turn the light on or there isn't a light, you just kind of stumble around, don't you? You bump into things and you're not even aware what those things are and you kind of feel for them and it's uncertain. You don't know which way is forward and which way is back and which way is up. But as soon as you put the light on, everything becomes clear. And the writer of Proverbs says wisdom is like that. Wisdom is like living your life in the light. It's gaining understanding, it's gaining perspective, it's gaining knowledge so that you can be a wise person and make good decisions. So if wisdom is so important, if it's so great, why do we have to go to so much effort in order to obtain it? Why is it so hard for us to get? Well, there are a number of reasons, and the first one is not it's not a compliment to any of us. The first one is that naturally, we are not wise people. Naturally, we are foolish people. We live in an incredibly complex world. People in incredibly complex situations are complex. Decisions are complex. And often we kind of stumble around in the dark, not knowing what to do, not knowing what to say, not knowing what decisions to make. Are falling over ourselves, making mistakes all the time. Why? Because we are not naturally wise. We are naturally foolish. In chapter 1 of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what is wisdom? Well, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Well, you know what that is. You've heard that in many sermons. It's this reverence, it's this desire, it's this love, it's this passion for God. That God is actually weightier, that he's more important to you, that he's more glorious to you than anything else in your life. And again, we sing songs about that all the time, don't we? We pray about that, we preach about that, but that is incredibly hard to do. To desire God, to live for God, to love God, to cherish God, to live our life in fear of God. Have you ever tried to pray for just more than 30 minutes and discovered how difficult that is? Yet wisdom is to live your life in the presence and the knowledge and the fear and the reverence of God, that every decision that you make, every comment that you make, everything that you do is sort of done in the presence of who God is. And that is difficult. Also, wisdom actually looks at truth and looks at instruction. So wisdom actually loves truth. It loves the Bible. It loves Scripture. And it loves actually obeying the Scriptures. But that may or may not be encouraging, because actually understanding the Bible takes some effort, and it takes some work, and it takes some determination. I was thinking about this during the week, that I've been in pastoral ministry now for 22 years, and if you take in all of my youth talks, I think I've written and given around 1,500 talks. It's an occupational hazard for me, but I have to read my Bible and study it all the time. But I feel like just after 22 years, I'm just starting to get to know and to understand the Scriptures, to see how it all sort of fits together, how it speaks to us about Jesus. So even knowledge, even truth is actually hard to actually get for us, and it requires effort, but then also to receive instruction is a difficult thing for us as well. If you know, if you have children, you know how sometimes they refuse instruction, don't you? We live in a day of reviews where I get reviewed, and also I review people in, like, our staff members. I give them reviews as well too. And you can see a wise person and a foolish person in a review. A wise person in a review is really open to instruction. They're desiring to actually learn, to actually grow. Even if it's a difficult conversation, they tend to take that well because they want to actually move forward and develop in their skills and their job. I remember doing a review for somebody with Global Interaction, one of our young adults consultants. And she was doing a great job, but there were a couple of areas that she really needed to work on, and I was really nervous about how that would go down. If I spoke to her about these two areas, how receptive she would be to that instruction. So we started the review, and, you know, I could praise her for a whole bunch of things, but when we got to those two difficult points, I was kind of shaking a little bit nervous, wondering about how she was going to receive this. But when I told her that news and how she needed to grow and develop, she was just open to it. I couldn't send her on enough courses. She just wanted to pick up books and improve in that area, and she was open to instruction. She was wise. But often when it comes to God, and often when it comes to the Word of God, and often when it comes to God actually speaking to us, we are not wise, we are deaf. Often in a sermon, you'll hear something that is offensive to you. It's offensive to you because it challenges the way you think, the way that you believe, and the way that you behave. Instead of being open to that word, instead of actually changing your life, you become defensive and you become angry. The same thing happens in life groups and small groups, doesn't it? When somebody actually challenges you on a particular point of view, a point of view that is different to yours, you become really defensive. Often we only read those passages of scriptures that actually affirm the way that we live, and we don't read those passages of scriptures that we find confronting and challenging. So to get wisdom is actually a fight. It's difficult. It's difficult for us because naturally we are foolish. Naturally we're actually slow to learn. We don't read the scriptures, the word of God, enough. And often we have hard hearts and blind eyes and deaf ears to the word of God. So how do we move forward? How do we develop a wise heart? Well, look at verse 23. Verse 23 is an amazing verse. It says, "But above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So the writer of Proverbs says, above all else, if you want to be a wise person, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from your heart. And then he goes on to talk about your body and your eyes and your mind. And he's saying everything actually in life flows from your heart. And when you hear the word heart, what are you thinking of? I bet that you're thinking about emotions, aren't you? We think our mind is our thinking and our heart is our emotions. But the Bible doesn't talk about our heart in that manner. When the Bible talks about our heart, it talks about the seat or the sum total of who you are. It talks about everything that you are. It talks about your will, your intellect, your emotions, your decision making. All of that is your heart. Your heart is you. And here in the book of Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart. Because what your heart clings to, your mind will find reasonable. Well, what your heart clings to, your emotions will be passionate about. What your heart clings to, your will be determined to do that thing. When I was 15 or 16 years of age, I was into cycling and I was racing competitively and I was kind of doing okay. And I thought I had this kind of future as kind of a professional cyclist. And so my heart was set on cycling. I was passionate about it. I lived for it. My mind was set on cycling. I thought about cycling all the time. And my will, my determination was set on cycling, is in that every day I would go out and train. I was determined to succeed at cycling. I lost one race and gave up. But here in this passage, what the writer is saying is that our heart, our will, our emotions, our minds, our desires, everything that we have, we need to guard that. And how do we do that? Well, the teacher in verses 20, 21 and 22 gives us insight into how to guard our heart. Verse 20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. The teacher says, pay attention to what I say. What is he talking about there? Well, really, he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the Scriptures. He's saying, take the Word of God, which is the living Word of God, and place it over your heart. Allow the Word of God and allow the Scriptures to actually guide and protect your heart. And that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because words are powerful. Words change us. Words actually affect us. You know that rhyme, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt us? That's not true, is it? Names do hurt us. Names affect us. Words change us. Words actually have power over us. I remember when I was a kid in grade 3, that must be about, I must have been about 9 or 10 years of age, that I was mucking up in class. I think I got some clay and I threw it over the room and it landed on some girl's arm or something like that. And for some reason the teacher got angry, couldn't work it out. Anyway, he got me up in the front of the class and he says, Andrew will never ever amount to anything. Andrew is a failure. And those words were spoken into my life and over my life when I was 9 years of age, and I'm 45, almost 46, and I can still remember them. Words are powerful, aren't they? Words change us. Words affect us. Words actually dictate our future. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is he's saying, allow the words of Scripture, allow the words of life, allow the words of God to actually soak over your life and allow the living Word of God to dictate to you who you are and how you are meant to live. Of course, this side of the cross, this side in the New Testament, the word of life even takes on greater meaning. The word of life actually means the word of life, which is Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come and to have life. Jesus says all of Scripture, All of the Bible actually points to me. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." So in the New Testament, we discover that Jesus is the living Word. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the revelation of God. I don't know if you've ever read a book and then that book was actually made into a movie and then you go and see that movie. In a sense, that book becomes alive, it becomes vivid, it becomes animated. Well, Jesus is the 3D version of the Scripture. He's the living version of the Bible. All Scripture actually points to him. He's the fulfillment of all the Scriptures. So do you want to be wise? What does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to actually put the living Word of God over your heart? It means to place Jesus over your heart. It means to place Jesus as the central focus of your life. And what we're meant to do is we're meant to look at Jesus. And we're meant to look at his humility, his courage, his grace, his forgiveness, his consistency, his compassion. We're meant to look at the way that he lives his life in perfect obedience to his Father, and we're meant to say, there is a wise life. And I want to attach my heart towards Jesus, and I want to live for him, and I want to live like him. And if you do that, you're on your way to becoming a wise person. So friends, wisdom is hard. Don't think naturally you're a wise person, because you're not. I'm a fool naturally, and so are you. But we can all be wise because we have the living Word of God. We have the living Word of Jesus, who can be placed over our hearts. And this year we can become wise people in a wise community of faith as we seek him. Does that make sense? Excellent. I was hoping for that. That was good. Let's pray.